Hey, sex fans, welcome back. Today is Monday, July 17th, 2008, and you are lucky enough to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge.
Who are you?
With your host, that savagely scintillating sexologist, Dr. Dick. That would be me. Today, I have a big, sweet load of very interesting questions from the sexually worrisome. I, of course, respond with an equal number of clever, resourceful, and oh-so-informative responses. Hey, it's what I do. Today's podcast is brought to you by Access Instructional Media, the people who produce those sizzling hot but yet oh-so-informative videos. There are 41 brilliant titles in the AIM catalog. These beautiful video aphrodisiacs will both charm and inform. You will find titles like Best of Oral and Anal, The Amazing G-Spot and Female Ejaculation, Lovers and Their Toys, SM, The Joys of High Intensity Pleasure, and New Lover's Massage, The Art of Sensual Touch. And the list goes on and on. And when you visit our friends at AIM, be sure to mention that Dr. Dick sent you. Before we begin today's exciting show, I'd like to remind you all of the toll-free, lickety-split, sex advice podcast voicemail hotline at 866-422-5680. Got a question or a comment? Maybe you just want to rant and rave a little bit. Or you just want to talk dirty for a minute or two? Why not get it off your chest and give Dr. Dick a call at 866-422-5680. Listen, there's no need to be shy, my friends, because this is voicemail. No human is going to answer your call, least of all me. Besides, your voicemail message will per near guarantee you a spot on one of my podcasts. Okay, on with the show.
I love you!
Today's first correspondent is Pete. He's 33 and he writes from Florida. I've noticed that some of the skin on my dick is starting to wear away from me masturbating. There is no blood or anything like that, just the skin turning a light color around the head of my dick. I think it's my grip. Is there a way the color will come back, or have I rubbed the skin cells to death? I masturbate about 3 to 4 times a week. I'm not in a relationship, and I prefer masturbation over random sex. Your dick skin is wearing away? Really? What are you handling your unit with, darling? Sandpaper? You say you think it's your grip. You think? Hey, Pete, are you using lube when you stroke? Or are you just yanking away down there with wild abandon? If you're not using a good jack-off cream like elbow grease, and you can find this stuff in my stockroom, then you better start. This stuff is not for use with condoms. But you don't have to worry about that, since all you're doing is pulling your own pud. As to the rather sudden coloration change on your dick, I'd be willing to guess that it has nothing to do with jerking off, even like a maniac. More likely, it's a genetic condition known as vitiligo. And the coloration change is actually a loss in pigment. This is not a health concern, really, nor is it contagious. So you don't have to worry about it in this regard. If it is indeed vitiligo, there's nothing you can do about it. It's irreversible. But it can, and does, spread. Here's a relatively easy way to self-diagnose this pesky but benign condition. While you're naked as a jaybird, squat over a mirror. If you have vitiligo, you will also see the same kind of color changes, or more properly, loss of pigment around your asshole. You may also notice it on your elbows and knees. If you are fair-skinned, the loss of pigment will be less noticeable than if you have a darker complexion. If it's not vitiligo, you might consider a checkup with your physician, but I pretty much can guarantee you that unless you are absolutely ruthless in your masturbation technique, manhandling yourself is not the cause of the color change of your joystick. Good luck. Next, we hear from somebody who identifies herself as Heater. She's 36 and writes from the USA. Don't you know? I've been married for 10 years. I told my husband 6 years ago that I was not physically attracted to him anymore. I stopped wanting sex from him because he just turned me off. No matter what he does, cleaning, cooking, running me a bath, eating me, and so on, but nothing works. I start to get wet as soon as he gets started, but I dry up like a prune. What should I do? I have not had good sex in a long time. Well, if you're not attracted to him anymore, you're not attracted to him anymore, plain and simple. But what I don't get is, how come your old man is still hanging around after 6 years of disinterest on your part? Is he some kind of glutton for punishment? If I was your long-suffering hubby, and I was doing all this stuff, including cooking, cleaning, and eating out your pussy, I'd sure as hell demand an explanation for your attitude change. Of course, maybe he likes being a doormat. Some men really get off on being dominated and treated like shit. Is that why you are no longer into him? Or is there something else that he's done that has put you off? Did he gain weight? Does he not attend to his personal hygiene anymore? Did he become a Republican? You know, things like that. If it is something he's done or failed to do, and he can change his behavior to better suit you, maybe you ought to clue him in on this. However, if it's not something he's done or failed to do, but it's you, then he needs to know that too. You did say that you dry up like a prune. Perhaps it's your libido that's gone south, not his relative attractiveness. Sometimes women get these two things confused. Do you have sexual fantasies? Do you masturbate? Are you horny for anyone else, either real or imagined? How's your health? Are you on birth control? Are you depressed, sleep deprived? Are you putting on the pounds? Could you be experiencing early onset menopause? As you can see, there are innumerable reasons for a decrease in libido. At any rate, Heater, you really need to get to the bottom of this, and soon. 6 years is a mighty long time to live like this. I'd look for a sex-positive therapist to connect with if I were you. Clearly, you've been unable in 6 years to discern the cause of your attitude change on your own. It's irresponsible to continue to drift with the status quo. Good luck. Hey, Dr. Dick, what is that toll-free podcast voicemail hotline telephone number you keep talking about? Why, it's 866-422-5680. Again, 866-422-5680.
Oh, yeah?
Scott joins us next, who's 20 and he writes from Kansas. I'm a 20-year-old virgin who has never had phone or cyber sex. The reason for this is that when I am complimented in a sexual or sensual manner, for example, your voice is sexy, or your intelligence is a major turn-on, or even something as simple as you're cute or adorable or whatever, I get aroused, but I also have a very negative reaction. I have a cold, sinking feeling in my stomach. I become slightly dizzy and even occasionally nauseous. I've been having these reactions since the 7th grade, which was the first time I was propositioned. When I find the woman of my dreams, I want to be able to satisfy her every want and need. But I won't be able to do it if I continue to have these reactions. Can you help me get rid of this, or at least give me an idea of where it comes from or what's causing it? Sounds to me, pup, like you've got yourself a bad case of sex phobia, an irrational fear of sex. This is classic. You write, I'm aroused, but I also have very negative reactions. I have a cold sinking feeling in my stomach. I become dizzy and even occasionally nauseous. You should know that phobias aren't particularly uncommon. There's probably a good reason why you experience this phobia. And if you and I were working together, I'd want to take a look at that incident you report that happened to you in the seventh grade. You said you were propositioned. What does that mean exactly? You were 12 and someone came on to you? Was it a peer? Someone older? Was it someone inappropriate? A family member? A clergy person? A teacher? Why did you have such a strong negative response? That being said, getting over a phobia of whatever kind, fear of flying, snakes, spiders, public speaking, or sex, can be accomplished without dredging up the past. Here's how you might go about starting. Identify the specifics of your fear as they play themselves out in your life now. What precisely frightens you about sex and/or intimacy? Create a plan to take the edge off your fear in small incremental steps. For example, start out holding hands, move to embracing, then kissing. What behaviors push the panic button for you? Address each and everything that hampers your progress. For example, why does kissing push your buttons and holding hands and/or cuddling doesn't? Be firm in your resolve to push past your discomfort and stretch your limits. Sinking to the lowest common denominator will not do. Address the emotional responses you have to each aspect of your phobia before moving on to the next one. Build on your successes. This is kind of hard to do on one's own, but it's not impossible. At the same time, there are loads of books and programs on the market that can help an individual move through a phobia. You might want to do an online search. Look for something like overcoming a phobia. Some people have success with visualization techniques. For others, hypnotherapy works. Basically, it's simply a matter of desensitization, diffusing the feared thing, and doing it incrementally. Good luck. Next, we hear from Afrisha. She's 21, and she writes from Pennsylvania. I usually have orgasms when I masturbate, but why, when I'm having sex, is it so hard to arrive at an orgasm, even when the sex is great? Women suffer from performance anxiety, too, you know. While performance anxiety is mostly talked about in terms of men and their erection problems, they don't have a monopoly on this annoying issue. I'd be willing to guess that you've got some performance anxiety going on yourself, even big time. Sad to say, this difficulty often plagues younger women the most. Young women tend to have less self-esteem. And if they are new to sex, they may feel like they don't know what they're doing, which can be both disturbing and distracting. On the other hand, if a young woman is not a sexual novice and she appears too knowledgeable about sex, she runs the risk of being labeled a slut. So basically, young women can't win for losing. That's friggin' regrettable, but there you have it. So let's see if we can get to the bottom of this, as it were. Let me ask you a few questions. First and foremost, where is your mind when you are having sex with your partner? Is it on the pleasure you're giving and receiving, or is it, like so many people, on something other than that? If your mind is busy with how you look or how you smell, or if you are wondering if that birthmark is too obvious, or if you're worried about how accomplished you are at performing a particular sex act, or if you're concerned about your partner's feelings for you, then you may have performance anxiety. If you are anxious about what your partner is thinking of you, or if he or she is turned on by you, or loves you, or is just banging away at you like a slab of beef, then you may have performance anxiety. If you're afraid to let go and have a screaming meme of an orgasm because it might not look ladylike, or you're not sure you can trust the person who's bumping you enough to just relax and enjoy the ride, then you may have performance anxiety. However, performance anxiety is only one of the explanations for the problem you experience in partnered sex. Many women report that their partnered sex is not as satisfying as their solo sex because they're not able to stimulate themselves in the same fashion in partnered sex as they do when they're jilling off on their own. If you are self-conscious about showing your partner the particulars of getting you off, or too intimidated to incorporate a vibrator in your lovemaking, you may not be getting the kind of stimulation you need when you need it. Thus, you might be aroused, but not to the point of letting one loose, if you catch my drift. Finally, one of the easiest solutions to the problem is simply have a frank discussion with your partner or partners about what gets you off before the fuckfest begins. That will clear the air of unnecessary anticipation, and both you and he or she will be able to relax more into the event itself rather than being distracted by the externals. Good luck. Hey, Dr. Dick, what is that toll-free podcast voicemail telephone number you keep talking about? Why, it's 866-422-5680. Don't be shy. Let it fly.
You got it.
Next, we hear from Grant, who's 40 and writes from Arkansas. I've been thinking about buying a penis pump. They look like fun. I've been reading how they can add inches to your penis. Do they really work? How do they work? And finally, what should I look for when buying one of these things? Thanks. The penis pump was invented in the early 20th century Europe as a treatment for impotence, or as we currently know it, erectile dysfunction. The device was simple, an airtight cylinder topped by a bulb that created a vacuum within the chamber. Insert a limp dick, pump, 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 and ta-da! An impressive erection resulted. There was a problem, however. When the vacuum was eliminated and the cylinder removed, the faux erection drained away nearly as quickly as it arrived. It was only a matter of time till the inventor discovered that one needed to constrict the flow of blood back into the body once the cock was engorged. And so, the earliest forms of the penis pump and cock ring were born about the same time. Successful pumping, either to treat ED or to work on that elusive endowment enhancement thing, will depend on the use of both a pump and a ring. But before we get too far ahead of ourselves, I think we'd better take a closer look at the mechanics of a penis pump. Every penis pump has basically the same three features: a cylinder or vacuum chamber, a pump attached to the cylinder to create the vacuum, and a release valve to eliminate the vacuum. And that's where the similarities end. There seems to be an endless array of pumps on the market. Prices range from around $25 to over $600. What accounts for the disparity, you might wonder? Well, any number of things. Let's start with three things each pump has in common. First, the cylinder. These babies come in numerous sizes and varieties of colors. Virtually all are made of transparent plastic, so you can see what's happening to your unit while you're working the pump. The more expensive ones are made of a strong polycarbonate material. The cheaper ones are fashioned from a considerably lesser grade of plastic. Now, I want you to consider for just a moment what's going to happen inside the cylinder. You're going to insert your precious willy, form an airtight seal at the base of your dick, and you use the pump to create the vacuum. Sounds simple, right? Well, it is, except that the cylinder, if it's made of a crappy plastic, the vacuum can actually split or even shatter the plastic, rendering the pump useless. So, lesson number one, when purchasing a pump, look for a sturdy plastic cylinder, one that will stand up to a vacuum. Second, the pump mechanism. This is attached to the cylinder, and it is responsible for drawing the air out of the chamber to create the vacuum. Sounds simple, right? Wrong. For as many different kinds of cylinders as there are even more startling assortment of pump mechanisms. These range from the simple squeeze ball type of pump to the elaborate motorized pump mechanism. Scary, huh? As I mentioned above, the job of the pump is to create the vacuum in the chamber. A feeble pump won't be able to do the job, and your pumping days will end even before they begin. Some of the more elaborate pumps come with gauges and gewgaws and whatnot. I guess they're all trying to sell us on how high-tech they are. I'm all in favor of having a gauge, don't you know, to monitor the pressure building in the chamber, but the more moving parts there are, the greater the likelihood that the blasted thing will spring a leak. So lesson number two, when purchasing a penis pump, look for a durable but simply designed pump mechanism. Third, the release valve. This is a simple, inconspicuous part of the pump, but it is a very vital part of nonetheless. The release valve is most often located on the pump mechanism. Again, consider for a moment what's going to happen when you use the penis pump. You're going to insert your precious willy into the chamber, form an airtight seal at the base of your dick, and using the pump, you will create a vacuum. If you're a novice, or even if you're an old hand at pumping, your best friend will be the release valve. This will help prevent you from injuring yourself through your inexperience or your overuse. So, lesson number three, when purchasing a penis pump, look for a release valve that is easy to locate, easy to use, but sturdy enough to last. Remember, you will be using the release valve every single time you use the pump. So if that puppy leaks or wears out, that's the end of that. Now that we have the basics down, let's look at things a little more closely. Let's first consider all the different kinds of pump mechanisms. 1. The squeeze bulb type. This is about as basic a unit as you can get. The bulb pump mechanism attaches directly to the cylinder, and there is no hose. 2. The piston type. Here, we have an intermediate type of setup. Besides the finger-operated piston pump mechanism, this one attaches to the cylinder by way of a flexible hose. 3, the plunger type. This is also a basic setup, but here one creates the vacuum by pushing down on a plunger. 4, the hand grip type. This is a considerably more elaborate system that kicks things up a notch. Here, one creates the vacuum by squeezing the hand pump mechanism. A lot of these types of pumps also feature a gauge attachment. And finally, there's the motorized type. Now we're getting into some serious industrial strength pump mechanisms. The producers of this contraption claim this is a more efficient means of creating a vacuum because it creates a continuous and even flow of vacuum pressure. It also has a variable pulsation feature that only electric pumps can provide. Before we get to some of the bells and whistles offered by some penis pumps, there is one more basic thing I want to call your attention to. If you're looking to buy a pump that will last, take note of how the pump apparatus connects to the vacuum cylinder. The more secure the connection, the stronger and more lasting the vacuum. Some of the pumps have simple hose-to-cylinder connections. The plastic hose or squeeze bulb device attaches to the cylinder by forcing one piece of plastic, the hose, over another, the plastic connector. When the pump is new, the connection is tight. However, regular use and cleaning will take their toll. When you use lube with your pump, as you ought to do every single time you pump, this will also compromise the connection. And when the connection fails, you'll not get the airtight seal you want and need, rendering the pump virtually useless. The more advanced penis pumps have sophisticated coupling devices that lock the male hose and the female cylinder ends together, making a secure seal. And what's so great about this setup is it also allows the pumper to disconnect the hose and pump mechanism from the cylinder, leaving the airtight seal in place on your cock. This feature will come in handy if you choose to one day add weights to your pumping device or you want to use other attachments. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Beyond the basics we discussed above, there are lots of ways to customize and personalize your pump. Many pump models, particularly if you are buying a kit, come with some of these frills already. Some pumps come with vibrators, or you can buy a vibrating attachment. You can find pumps that feature a stretchy rubber or jelly-like donut seal at the base of the cylinder. These are intended to create a tighter and more secure fit, or you can buy a similar attachment. Other pumps feature inserts like the CyberSkin sleeve. This doesn't add to the pump necessarily, but it does come in handy later. You can even add a weight stretching system that attaches to the cylinder by way of a hook or a strap. You'll discover one thing almost immediately. Once you pump yourself to a good old-fashioned hard-on boner, you're going to want to do something with all that wood right away. It's so convenient to have a masturbation insert like the CyberSkin sleeve I just mentioned, or one of those other squishy jelly-like adapters to jerk off in. The most expensive pump systems that come with the sophisticated coupling device I talked about earlier have many more attachments to soup up the basic mechanism. You can get different size and shape cylinders. There are some that are designed just for the head of your cock, for your cock and balls. Others for stretching your foreskin. There are cylinders for nipple enlargements, and even one for clit pumping. So you see, pumping is not just for the menfolk anymore. Good luck! Well, that's it for today, sex fans. I'm so glad you could join me. Tune in next week for more Sex Advice with an Edge with your host, me, Dr. Dick. Again, this week's podcast sponsor is Access Instructional Media. Listen up, you guys. If you want to explore your sexuality while viewing hot, explicit instructional videos, I have just the thing for you. Access Instructional Media is your online video aphrodisiac superstore. These couple-oriented videos provide you with all the information you need to improve and enhance your sex life, and you can bank on that. I encourage you to explore their collection of over 40 erotic instructional titles. Maybe it's time for you to invest in a little sexual enrichment, or maybe you need to learn how to overcome a nagging personal sexual concern. Countless people, just like you, have discovered how to take their sex lives to a greater height and achieve new levels of happiness and satisfaction through Access Instructional Media. Look for the link to their amazing titles right there on drdicksexadvice.com. And don't forget to look for Dr. Dick's podcast on iTunes. Once in the podcast section, all you have to do is search for Dr. Dick's Sex Advice, and don't forget to subscribe. Until next week, remember, sex is good. And good sex? That's even better. Over and out.